Okay. Hello, angels. Okay. I'm gonna wait for this one to. Okay. This is something that I have been promising I would do, and I'm finally doing it. The first installment of this. This is going to be harder than I thought it was going to be. The first installment of this series is a Safe for Work audio where I... okay. Where I read excerpts from the book Rejected Princesses by Jason Parath. And that, this pattern is killing me. And that, that installment was, Wilma Rudolph, who is an Olympian in track and field, who beat polio. Fuck. And when I did that, reading, I said I would do a hysterical literature version. And that is what I'm doing. Have the book open. I've picked a princess to read about. Fuck. I have the lush in. That you can probably hear, because it's when it's loud, it's fucking loud. I'm gonna close my pop socket. Okay. Fuck. Okay. I am reading about Ada Lovelace. And her title in this book is Enchantress of Numbers. And for those that aren't familiar with this book, when the pattern like breaks to like a brief off, I think that I'm gonna be okay. Okay. Anyway, this is a book full of stories about really badass women, and, and it's got some beautiful art, so if any of you want to see the art, let me know in the comments, and I will post it. Fuck. This is one of the longest readings in the book, but it also doesn't have any trigger warnings, which some of the other stories do. Oh. Okay. All right. Anyway, I'm just gonna start reading because I don't know how long I'm gonna be able to make this. I picked a 30-minute pattern. Fuck. And I know that it's not like this reading won't take that long. But I also, this is an internal vibrator, so this is going to be like an edge. Fuck. It's on like a solid high. Fuck. There's no clit stimulation with this toy, which is now slowing down, thank God. Fuck. Shit. Okay. So I'm not gonna come, probably, because it's just, I need something on my clit, and I don't have something on my clit. But it feels really good, and I'm sure I'm gonna fuck the shit out of myself after this. Anyway, I've rambled for like 4.5 minutes, so I'm gonna read now. This is about Ada Lovelace. She was born in 1815 and died in 1852 in England. Imagine your crazy uncle tells you about a machine he's building out of Legos. No, he hasn't finished or even started it yet, but it's gonna be great. Pump in some steam and a couple of index cards and it will solve any math problem in the world. The only thing is, he wants you to write a user's manual for it, even though it doesn't exist. But he'd be happy to describe it to you. Welcome to the life of Ada Lovelace. Ada's life got off to an off-kilter start when her mother, deathly afraid Ada might become a debauched poet, began schooling her in mathematics. Her mother's characteristically histrionic fears were not totally unfounded. Ada's father was the mad, bad, and dangerous to know poet, Lord Byron, who had, years earlier, rocked English polite society with a series of scandals. Fearing his degenerate love of wordplay might be genetic, the divorced Lady Byron, referred to by Lord Byron as the Princess of Parallelograms in their courtship, early on began steering her daughter towards the life of virtuous calculus. Although Lady Byron did inspire quite the interest in math, she could not fully temper Ada's innate hooliganery. God, what a question. What a fucking word to try and say. Well, Ada refused to sleep in beds, argued with every adult she met. One described an encounter with Ada as conversational litigation, declined to learn basic etiquette, and wrote long, funny, sarcastic letters. At age 12, she laid out extensive designs to build a steam-powered flying machine and only abandoned her plans when Lady Byron guilt-tripped her into stopping. Okay, slowing down. Lady Byron claimed it would disturb her own precarious health. And here we find the first major obstacle in Ada's ascension to the math goddess. Her hypochondriac mother. From reading Lady Byron's letters, one gets the impression that Ada's mother was almost constantly bedridden, for around 30 years. Her medical treatments rotated between leeches, cupping, and eating ludicrous quantities of meat, which she would then vomit, usually over the side of a boat, so as to protect her feminine modesty. Lady Byron's writing, which there is no shortage of, is a non-stop stream of health reports, breathless gossip, and complaints about Lord Byron, even decades after his death. The responsibility of caring for her mother hampered some of Ada's desires, but it was hardly the family-related impediment. At age 22, she married William King Noel, better known as Lord Lovelace. Fuck. Her husband was a kind man who fully encouraged her interest in mathematics, but being a public figure whose work demanded Ada's high society involvement, he made serious demands to her schedule. Moreover, they eventually had 3 children together, so that also took up just a little bit of time. However, even the intense social pressures of high society England never kept Ada restrained for long. In her late 20s, she began regularly abdicating her maternal and wifely duties in order to associate with rogue intellectuals. God, my shoulders are so tense. And no contemporary was more of a rogue than Charles Babbage. Babbage, the crazy uncle of the introductory analogy, was an infamously eccentric inventor with one of the shortest attention spans on record. Fuck, I relate, Charles. His primary claim to fame was the difference engine, a complex machine within about half of the functionary of a modern-day calculator. Ah! God. Despite receiving a great deal of attention and funding for the device, he never finished it because he got distracted by a newer idea, the analytic engine, essentially history's first computer. In spite of Babbage's excited talk and hand-waving, not many people understood the thinking behind the analytic engine, except for Ada. She took to the idea quickly, began translating mathematical treaties with the aim of helping Babbage develop the machine. In addition, she wrote a long document, The Notes, on how to program it. She referred to this document as her child, which should give you a sense of where her head was. But in fairness, by this point, her head was all over the place. Partly because of her own illnesses, and partly because of her mother's histrionic nature, at this point, Ada's diet primarily consisted of laudanum, wine, and opiates. Her writing from this period reflects this regimen. One week, she's sensibly describing algorithms, and in the next, she's describing herself as a fairy or a prophet charged by God with unveiling the secrets of the universe using math. Yeah, she went full mad scientist. Her final years saw her life spinning more wildly out of control. Even as she wrote prophecies of the computing revolution, many of which would come to pass, albeit over a century after her death, she would also regularly abandon her family and using mathematical prowess to unsuccessfully gamble on horse races. Eventually, the health problems that had clouded her life for years caught up with her, and she became confined to bed. She spent her last months making peace with her loved ones before passing away from cancer at the age of 36. Okay, it's taking a break. And it is tempting to think of the contributions. God. The contributions she could have made had she been born in a different time, or if she'd had a better support network. Or if she'd lived longer. Although later historians have questioned how much impact her writing had on Babbage, her genius is beyond question. She programmed for a machine that didn't exist and never would. Think about that. Fuck. She successfully envisioned an entirely theoretical machine and wrote history's first software program all in her head. The mental acuity required to do that beggars belief. Thankfully, she is remembered in present day, one of the first programming, languages was ever created was named Ada in her honor. Modern day technology companies such as Adafruit and Lady Ada bear tribute to her names, to her in their names. And every October, millions celebrate intellectual women on Ada Lovelace Day. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's the end. Fuck. Shit. Okay, that has to be it. Because this is a series about hysterical literature. And it's not turning into a ramble fap. Fuck. Okay. This is installment 2 of my series from the book Rejected Princesses by Jason Parath. Thank you for listening, angels, and have a wonderful evening. Fuck. Oh.